This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Mike, you know we got you covered when it comes to Thursday night football with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Philadelphia Eagles getting ready to lock up down at the Link. And one of the storylines, no doubt, will be Tom Brady's fast start to his season, arguably playing some of the best football of his career. It's crazy to look down at the quarterback rankings and see some of the production from Tom Brady. He's first in yards and he's second in touchdown passes in the early going of this season. And it's hard to believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been so reliant on him, but this guy has been able to deliver. And right now you have to consider him in the conversation when we start talking about MVP talk with some of the other quarterbacks at the top of that list.
It is crazy. Like, when you look at some of these other numbers here, again, deep diving into this, I saw someone from Madden tweet this out. Tom Brady is 44 years old. He has the longest air yard distance pass of his career, 64 and a half yards in the air. He registered the fastest pass thrown this year, over 61 miles an hour, and he hit his top fastest speed in the next-gen stats era at 16.3 miles per hour. Like, Chris, we hear all that time, the father time wins thing. Him and LeBron James continue to kick father time right in the shins. Like, the rest of us are going to have to pay for these guys, apparently, because they shouldn't be allowed to do this. And it's reflected now. Tom Brady, I think, currently sits at third in the MVP odds in the NFL. And, Chris, we said last year he came into a situation with a lot of weapons. I still think he sits behind a very good offensive line. But this level of production is going to be really hard to ignore, especially with the context of what that defense is giving up on the back end right now.
Oh, this is definitely giving off Tom Brady 2007 vibes, like when him and Randy Moss got together and they went off. And I think they combined for like something like 23 touchdown passes. Like, this is going in that direction in terms of Tom Brady's productivity. I just never thought that you would see a quarterback at that age be able to have that kind of success. But Tom Brady has proven everybody wrong at every single stop throughout the course of his career. And right now, according to Las Vegas, like you said, he's third in the MVP race behind Kyler Murray and Josh Allen. Kyler Murray's 5-1, Josh Allen's 5-1, and Tom Brady sits just underneath those guys at 6-1, rounded out with Dak Prescott at 7-1 and Justin Herbert at 7-1 for the top five. But, I mean, that's the territory that Tom Brady is in, but I think you can make an argument that he deserves to be higher given the kind of production that we've seen from him and the Buccaneers' reliance on him in order to win football games.
You know what, Chris, though? If we're going to talk about reliance, Patrick Mahomes at 10-1 seems like it's pretty decent money. Like, you want to talk about a place that's going to be reliant. I think I saw Dan Orlovsky say this the other day. The Chiefs defense has been so struggled, so bad, it looks like Mahomes is trying to score 21 on every throw here. That is still, by a lot of metrics, the number one or number two offense in football, Chris, and he is going to have to, while this defense tries something to figure it out for Spags and company on that side, he's going to have to ball at a level we may not have seen from him yet. And that's saying something. So I don't want to, especially not in October, count Patrick Mahomes out of this conversation, especially at the number you can get him at right now.
No, I don't want to discount Pat Mahomes either. I mean, the dude is special. If you're starting an NFL team today, he's the guy that most people are going to go with. But at the same time, I recognize the struggles that that Chiefs team has had, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I never thought we'd get to a day where I felt like Pat Mahomes and that Chiefs offense couldn't outscore the pedestrian Chiefs defense, but that's essentially where we're at right now because they're making every single opposing offense look like the greatest show on turf. And when you consider that there hasn't been an MVP winner that hasn't won their division since Peyton Manning, like, I just feel like Pat Mahomes still might be a little bit of a dicey bet, and especially when you consider the stranglehold that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have on the NFC South. So I'm with you. I understand that there's a long way to go in determining who's going to win the MVP this year. But right now, I mean, Tom Brady's got to be on a short list of favorites.
All right, let's put it like this then. Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Candy. Because what you just described with Patrick Mahomes feels very similar to what Dak Prescott was doing last year before his ankle injury. That defense couldn't stop a cold. It was the Big 12 Cowboys, and it seemed like every game they were going to have to score 50. That's what it seems like this year for Pat. Now that the Cowboys have this thing rolling a little bit more, defense has been helping out, Diggs been taking the football away, And Dak Prescott has led what looks like the most versatile offense in the NFL. Does that up in team production help him or hurt him? Like, would you have him above Tom Brady in the MVP race?
I wouldn't have him above Tom Brady. I think Dak Prescott is probably right where he should be. But it's hard for me to envision a 12 or 13 win Cowboys team that's in the playoffs. Dak Prescott not being, you know, at the top of a lot of lists, for a lot of people for MVP. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think right now there's still a little bit of wait and see with the Dallas Cowboys, as opposed to people already know what it is with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Like, you called them the ultimate crockpot team, set it and forget it. Like, that's where people are with Tom Brady. They know that the Buccaneers are going to be there in the end, and I think that's reflected in these latest MVP odds.
Yeah, no, and listen, that's fair. We could make the argument that maybe hurts Brady because fewer people tune into that. And, I mean, hell, Chris, you know this as well as anyone as a Dallas Cowboys alum. There is nothing more dangerous to television ratings spiking through the roof than a Dallas Cowboys team that is actually good. And that seems like what we are on the cusp of right now. So Dak is going to have plenty of those moments to go ahead and try and cement this thing and try and put on some of these big-time performances, because I find it funny that he goes out here and is lights out in game one against Tampa Bay. And all people wanted to talk about on the back end was, well, the Dallas Cowboys need to be more balanced. And now they go out here and are more balanced. And now all of a sudden, you know, again, he's what, fourth in the MVP odds. So I won't say he's being appreciated, but I feel like it's going to take another one of those Dak Prescott 40 attempt games where he throws for damn near 400 yards for people to then put him back up with the Josh Allens and the Kyler Murrays of the world right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Dak is going to be able to put up the gaudy statistics just because they are an offense that's well-rounded. They do have a lot of balance. And when you look at the 1-2 punch that they have in the running game with Zeke and Tony Pollard, like, for matchups, I mean, Dak Prescott is going to realize it might behoove them to lean more on the running game as opposed to the passing attack. So I look at Dak Prescott as one of those ultimate competitors. He's more concerned with winning than he is about individual accolades. And, you know, that might not necessarily lend itself to him putting up the kind of numbers that it's going to take to be able to win the MVP trophy. But I will say this, if the Dallas Cowboys end up where you and I both think they will, Dak Prescott will absolutely be on that short list.
Dak Prescott will be, so we'll keep an eye on him. We've obviously got Tom Brady heading into Thursday Night Football tonight. And I thought this was interesting. Tom Brady, who for years in New England was about as tight-lipped a quarterback as you were going to find, actually openly talked about how being an older quarterback, being in the situation now, has made him a little more candid. This was Brady at the Tuesday press conference talking about the thumb injury that he sustained in this last week's game.
A quarterback's right hand is important at the end of the day, so it's not like it's your left hand. If it was my left hand, I wouldn't even think 2 seconds about it. But, you know, the fact that it's your throwing hand, I mean, there's not many things that are that important to a quarterback other than probably your right shoulder and your right elbow and your right hand. So anytime, you know, you get banged on one of those, it could be an issue. But like I said, I think there's no serious injury at all. So it's just more of discomfort, but I think that should be gone here next day or two.
Chris, he went on to say, in my younger days, I probably would never have showed you guys. I'd probably try and keep this a secret, but I think at my old age, I don't care so much. Just kind of a football injury, so I'll do my rest to get ready for the game and see what happens. Like, I am still going to just be overjoyed at this openly honest Tom Brady we're getting now.
Well, you know why he's telling you about it, right? Because it's not going to matter when it comes time for him to put his chin strap on and go out there and play the damn game. That's why he doesn't have a problem disclosing it. That's why he doesn't have a problem sharing it with the media, because it's not going to matter to the opposing defenses that he's going to face. Tom Brady's going to light him up. I mean, as he has with every other defense that he's faced this season, except for the New England Patriots defense. But, I mean, like Tom Brady is playing some of the best football of his career. And Gojo, I'm convinced that he signed a deal with the devil in blood, and this is the best advertisement that Tom Brady could have for the TB12 method. Like, it's unbelievable what he's doing. It's unprecedented. And I think he's going to be able to sustain this level of play based on the supporting cast that he has around him.
It is terrifying. If you're going to ever try and be the one to predict the downfall of Tom Brady anymore, good luck.
At your own peril.
Yeah. Do so on an IG Live with Kyrie Irving. He seems like someone that you could sell this take to. We will see what else we are buying or selling from Kyrie Irving coming up next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
His level of stubbornness has elevated to a glaring level of selfishness.
Nobody's going to take the power away from me that I have for speaking on these things, you know, and don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. And I know we got a little bit of baseball coming up after us. We got Game 5 of the NLDS between the Dodgers and the Giants. And we're going to tee up ESPN baseball analyst Kyle Peterson to get us ready for that matchup. But, Mike, we got to dive back into the Kyrie Irving saga. And one of my former teammates, Marcus Spears, I love Swaggoo because he put something out there on social media. And I think it's a question that's hilarious, but it properly frames Kyrie's position, which is if he chooses to be a voice for people that are losing their jobs and then goes back and starts going to work again, do the people that don't have a voice have to find a new guy to be their voice? Curious minds want to know. I feel like we got to inject some laughter in this because it is a serious topic, and it really does feel like it's a shame that Kyrie Irving is taking this position.
It is a serious topic, and you're right, Chris. It feels bad because on a lot of other fronts, Kyrie Irving has been someone really helpful, really valuable to certain causes, but you're right. We also have to laugh so we don't go insane on this one. So I will posit that as framework for what we're about to show you because Kyrie Irving, who we heard that report of him wanting to be a voice for the voiceless from an anonymous source telling The Athletic, so he wasn't even using his voice to be the voice for the voiceless in that spot. You can see how that's funny. But I want you to also listen to Kyrie Irving on his Instagram Live because he decided to finally lend a voice to this cause. And it's very reminiscent as a proud card-carrying member of the Stugott School of Fraudcasting, just starting a take and then seeing where it goes. I have not thought this out. I don't know where the end is, but I am going to try and just work my way through it there. So keep that in mind as you watch Kyrie Irving on Instagram Live talking about everything.
I had to stop running away from using my voice and using my platform to, speak on what's true and what's mine. You know, nobody's going to hijack my voice. Nobody's going to take the power away from me that I have for speaking on these things, you know. And don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that, you know, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate or staying unvaccinated. Don't believe any of that, man. Like really be aware of what's being said before I even get a chance to be on a podium and speak for myself. You know what I'm saying? Like all these people saying all these things about what's going on with me, and it's just not true. Pay attention to what's going on out in the real world. You know, people are losing their jobs to these mandates. People are having to make choices with their own lives, which I respect, you know, and I don't want to sit here and play on people's emotions either. Just use logic. You know, what would you do? You know, if you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine.
I don't know, Chris, what would you do if you were someone who had a family member who might be immunocompromised going into a season where you might have to be around an unvaccinated Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, it makes it tough to feel comfortable in your workplace environment, and that's the beauty of being vaccinated is that you don't put others in harm's way. But for Kyrie, like, I can understand that he might have some reservations about it, but I still haven't heard a reason from him that you can justify being a liability in your workplace and potentially, you know, exposing other people that have made the sacrifice to get vaccinated with COVID. Like, that's the part of it that just doesn't make sense. Like, he's talking about not believing everything that you hear, but the eyes and ears of the sports world are waiting to hear your rationale behind not getting vaccinated. You talked about your platform and being a voice for the voiceless. Well, we want to know, we're paying attention to what you're advocating for. Like, that's the thing. He hasn't said anything. Like, he's talking loud, but he's not really saying much of anything. And I think that's what everybody is waiting on. And meanwhile, his teammates are in this limbo state because they don't know whether Kyrie is going to opt in and get vaccinated ahead of the season and try to accomplish the goals that they all set out for, or whether they're going to have to play without him. So I just think it's incredibly selfish to take this type of position. And he's trying to wrap this thing up into being selfless and being a voice for people that are on the other side of the vaccine and really sharing an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, Chris, I think that's a great reminder in this is it sounds a lot less bad in all the team context that we've heard it if now all of a sudden you're standing up for the little guy in this. But I heard Bomani Jones bring this up on the right time with Bomani Jones the other day. I don't know about you. I feel like we've heard an awful lot from people that feel like Kyrie Irving. Like, I don't feel like there's anyone that's felt silenced about this. I feel like in the last few years especially, we have heard a pretty fair amount of people echo the kind of sentiment that Kyrie's authoring right here. So I don't know who he feels like is not being heard right now, but this is one of the things that always bothers me in like a general sense about when people do something like this is it detracts from having to address it one-on-one. Like, I don't know if you've gotten this, Chris, but the amount of times when I'm making an argument with somebody and they're like, well, ESPN tells you to say that. That's what you're supposed to say for the company. I'm like, no. What you've got to deal with is the fact that I really believe this. And so I am going to sit and have the conversation with you about what we're talking about, and you're going to have to come to terms with the fact that I just actually believe what I'm saying. And that's the frustrating part, because when we flip this on Kyrie, we have not gotten legitimate reasons about why he is doing what he is doing, and we have instead gotten it wrapped in, well, I'm doing this for other people now, and that just doesn't float.
Yeah, and it seems like he's trying to blame everybody else for demonizing him, and I don't necessarily know that folks are taking it there, but people want to wrap their minds around why Kyrie is so staunch in his position and why he's against something that's in the best interest of the public health. So people want the rationalization. People want to understand why he feels justified in taking this stance. And to this point, Kyrie just hasn't given us anything, all the while recognizing the gravity of the situation as it pertains to the Brooklyn Nets, knowing that this is a team that has championship aspirations, and also knowing that he's getting paid over $30 million to play this season. And guess what, Mike? Even if he doesn't play, he's still getting paid $17 million for the games that that he would be allowed to play on the road this year. But the Brooklyn Nets have already said they're not interested in having a part-time player, which is why he's away. So it just seems really strange. I mean, the IG Live was a stream of consciousness, not really any coherent thought. But I just think when you start to boil it all down, it comes down to Kyrie Irving being incredibly selfish at a time where he needs to also keep in mind the reason why he decided to come to Brooklyn with Kevin Durant and James Harden, which was to try to win a championship.
I hope if people sign up to have him be their voice, they get some of that money you were talking about here. I don't know where the line is to get that bread that he's handing out here, but I would be waiting to see if that comes up. Important context to remember, Kyrie is part of the very, very small group of players that still remain unvaccinated right now. But what Chris mentioned, he is on a team with championship aspirations, and he's damn good at basketball, are why this is going to get talked about in an outsized way. Coming up next, though, we don't got to outsize anything here. Big time implications coming up. It is win or go home, game 5 tonight between the Giants and the Dodgers. We'll get you ready for that first pitch, and we'll do it after this word from Wendy's. Now, rise, shine, and dine with Wendy's, with breakfast at Wendy's. Even better. Get a sausage or bacon, egg and Swiss croissant for just $1.99. That's it. Fresh cracked eggs, a buttery, flaky croissant, and your choice of bacon or sausage, all for $1.99. So head to Wendy's in the AM for breakfast worth waking up for. And with a deal this delicious, biggest question you're going to have to face today, sausage or bacon? Decisions, decisions. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Back after this, getting you ready for Dodgers Giants on ESPN Radio.
TJ and Max.
Good morning. I listen to you guys every single morning.
Covering the biggest stories with the best guests and plenty of opinions.
I love listening to you guys. I love the banter. I love the conversation. And this is life every single morning.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Tune in for the NL Division Series action as the Giants host the Dodgers beginning tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And to get everybody set for that, we're going to go out to the Bay Area now and to ESPN baseball analyst Kyle Peterson. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. City's getting ready for game 5 tonight, so it's a good day.
Yeah, it's crazy to think a 109-win team is going to be going home tonight, but these two teams have been at it all season long in the NL West. And I got to ask you about some lineup card changes that Dave Robert has made tonight. I mean, it was supposed to be Julio Urias getting the start, but now he's going with Corey Knebel in place of that, and then also going with Gavin Lux out in left field as opposed to A.J. Pollock, sending him onto the bench. Can you explain the thought process for Dave Roberts in making those two decisions?
Yeah, I'll start with Lux. Gavin Lux, I mean, got the start in game four, swung the bat really well. He was on base four times. I think he walked twice, had two hits. And really, if the wind's not blowing in 35 miles an hour in game three, he ties it with a solo home run in the ninth. Wind held it up. I think Bugatt said the wind held it up about 35 feet. So it was that big of a wind difference. So I think they're playing Lux. You get the left-handed bat in there. It makes sense. And then ultimately, you want to bring Pollock off the bench. You can do it to match up later on. The Knebel move is interesting. And when you look at it, it's not terribly surprising. And the reason is because the last time Urias pitched for the Dodgers in game two, it was a right-handed loaded lineup. I think the only left-handed hitter was Brandon Crawford for the Giants. So you would ultimately probably see the exact same thing tonight. I think what the Dodgers are trying to do is force the Giants to be uncomfortable at the top of their lineup. Because if Knebel goes out and faces three guys, six guys, and then Arias comes in, your matchups are totally different. So in an ideal world, what they're trying to get Gabe Kapler to do is burn some guys off his bench in the fourth inning instead of the seventh or the eighth, and we'll see how far Knebel can go.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Kyle, big picture on this one. We're through four games. We haven't seen a lead change yet in this series. But based on the billing we saw, based on what you guys have seen in person there, has this thing lived up to the hype so far as we head into game five?
Yeah, I mean, I think it absolutely has. And then just being in the ballpark, I mean, the environments have been unbelievable. You get 50,000 at Dodger Stadium. You get sellouts here. You know, I think it's kind of a tale of, well, I mean, two games similar for the Dodgers to where they get shut out. Nobody shuts the Dodgers out, especially twice in a series. But the reality is the Giants have pitched it great in those two games, and then the Dodgers' offense showed up in the other two games. It kind of ran away and hit. So, yeah, I think from a competitive standpoint, it's absolutely lived up to it. And it sets up for, honestly, the way that these teams played the whole year, there should be a winner-take-all. I wish it was next round instead of this round, but they played 23 times. You know, the Giants have won one more than the Dodgers up to this point. So this is kind of the way it should end.
Kyle, you mentioned that this Giants offense has been off balance throughout this series. They're only hitting 184. Chris Bryant has really been the only consistent threat in that order. How have the Dodgers staff kept this lineup off balance, and what do San Francisco need to do in order to get back on track in Game 5?
Well, I mean, history would say they got to hit the ball out of the ballpark. In this series, the team that hits the most home runs in a game has won every game. The math is pretty simple. They hit three in game one, won 4-0. They hit a solo shot in game three, they win 1-0. And the power really hasn't been there in the other games. So, way oversimplified, history would tell you they got to hit the ball in the seats. That's a major league game right now, right? I mean, if you look at it, there's more home runs. Home runs lead to a higher percentage of runs. And so ultimately, that's the offensive approach. But for San Francisco, facing the guys that they're going to face, it's really hard to get three hits in an inning. I mean, it's really hard to go single, hit a ball in the gap, score guys. And so I think way oversimplified, if the Giants are going to win tonight, they get to hit a ball or two in the seats or maybe in the bay.
Ultimately, with whoever walks out of this tonight, Chris mentioned the caliber of these teams. We all know what they were during the regular season. Is whoever the winner is from this series the favorite for the National League from here on out?
Yeah, I think they're the favorite. I mean, what's interesting is if the Dodgers win, the Braves have home field advantage, even with the number of wins that the Dodgers have. It's different in the NLCS as opposed to the World Series. It's a little backwards, but because the Dodgers didn't win their division, ultimately the Braves will host. But yet if they get to the World Series, the Dodgers would have home field advantage because then it flips the best record. But in any case, yeah, is it like massive prohibitive favorite? No, I don't think so. I think the three starters the Braves throw out at the beginning can match up with anybody. That offense, even without Ronald Acuna Jr., has proven, especially their infield. I mean, their infield offensively is probably the best infield in baseball. So is the Giants or the Dodgers the favorite? Absolutely. Would it shock me if the Braves win it in 6 or 7? No, not at all.
Awesome stuff. You guys can check out Kyle Peterson on the call tonight for this Game 5 matchup. Again, the road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. You can catch this all presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. NL Series, Game 5, Dodgers and Giants tonight starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Kyle, we appreciate the time. Have a great call tonight.
All right, fellas. Good talking to you. Thanks.
Awesome stuff. Again, we appreciate Kyle Peterson stopping by for us. You can hear him on that call, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, coming up right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up next, though, it has been a tough day. It has been an emotional day. We will send you out with one person taking up as the voice of reason amidst all of this, next on ESPN Radio.
Ryan Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Plus. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We got to give a shout out to all the guests that we had join us on the show today. We had Christian Winfield, Nets reporter from the New York Daily News. We had Tom Krasnicki from Ronnie and T-Kras down in Tampa, WDAE 620, getting us set for a Thursday night preview between Bucks and Eagles. We had our very own Kevin Nagandy, SportsCenter anchor and host of ESPN College Football Podcast. Sweet Lou Riddick came through and shared some really powerful stuff on the fallout from the John Gruden resignation. And, of course, just now, Kyle Peterson, ESPN baseball analyst, getting us set for Game 5 in the NLDS. But, Gojo, you know it's about that time in the show where we got to go 3 and out.
It is that time. 3 and out, by the way, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. It's the one when you got to get stuff done here. And how about this? Alexander Ovechkin, we've talked about the NHL being back on ESPN. Ovi.
Ovi,
back.
Baby.
Now wearing number 5 all time on the NHL career goal list. He scores twice as they kick off the season here, and not surprising. Chris, hockey season just hitting different right now. Walk into the studio opposite us, and Ryan Matlack, who's a friend of our show here, got has games all over the screen in there. So Toronto Maple Leafs games all over the screen. It just hit different right now.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, listen, this is one of those things, man. Now that it's back on ESPN, it just feels a lot bigger now. So everybody's excited about hockey season kicking off yesterday, and, you know, we got great games going on our networks, on our air. So really excited about seeing it. I still haven't yet adopted a hockey team, Gojo, so I got to get to that point. I'm not necessarily sure if I want to be a Rangers fan or an Islanders fan. I feel like I'm just going to jump on the bandwagon of whatever team shows better early on this season.
Big fan of the Islanders, Anders Lee, longtime captain there, proud Notre Dame alum on the team.
Hello.
I'm just saying. And also the Seattle Kraken, outstanding open in their arena with the on-ice videos and incredible threads to go along with it. Lots of great ones to choose from there. Keeping that same – oh, no, that's a fine. That's the old segment here. 3 and out on Gandy and Golic Jr. It was bound to happen at some point. Whatever. I don't want to hear it from you guys. Accountability, that was on me. Speaking of accountability, speaking of leadership, listen to Brandon Staley talk and ignore me.
Brandon, what are your thoughts on what happened with John Gruden?
Yeah, I think this is what I think about it. I think that respect and trust in this world are really, really difficult to achieve. And I think about all the people that were affected by those emails. Whether you're a person of color, whether you're a person, a gender, your sexual orientation, the people that were affected by those emails, that's who I'm thinking about, you know, because it's a sacred mantle for someone to call you coach or someone to call you a leader. And trust is really, really hard to achieve in this world. It's really, really challenging to achieve. And especially with people, with those groups that I just mentioned, all right, and people are really guarded, all right, and they're skeptical of people because of emails like that. And I just think that, you know, kindness and lifting people up and respecting people you don't know, I just think that, you know, that's such a big part of our thing here is listening to people and learning about people, because I think what you'll discover is that we have so much more in common than not. And I think that, for someone like me, you know, it's just incumbent upon you to set the example every single day so that people that were, you know, talked about in those emails, that they don't need to feel that way. They shouldn't feel that way. And it's, you know, hopefully, you know, all of us can learn from this, that it's about bringing people together for me, so that people can become, you know, the people that they dream about. And I think that, you know, for me, you know, leading this football team and being someone, hopefully we can, you know, be a light for those people in those emails, that not everybody's like that, that there's far more people that will love you than the opposite. And hopefully this will be a chance for everybody to come together.
Canning and Golic Jr., that was Chargers head coach Brandon Staley talking about the fallout from what we saw with John Gruden and the emails leaked. And Chris, that's what it's supposed to sound like when you actually acknowledge the people that were really hurt in this entire thing. Not like Mark Davis trying to cover his own you-know-what in their organization here. Actual leadership on display for once.
No question about it, man. And it doesn't seem like it's something that should be that hard to do. But shout out to Brandon Staley for prioritizing the right folks' feelings in this whole controversy, because it's not about John Gruden and trying to vouch for his character or saying how much you love him or saying how much he's respected or trying to dispel the notion that he has a racist bone in his body. Like, this is about the folks that John Gruden offended in the emails that he sent to Bruce Allen, conversations that he didn't think anybody else would ever be privy to. But we know, Mike, that when you start sharing things like this in private settings, this reveals a lot of who you are. And unfortunately, John Gruden was not made up of the stuff that we want our leaders in the National Football League to be all about, and which is why he's resigned now as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. So shout out to Brandon Staley again for putting the priority on what it should be, the folks that John Gruden offended in his emails and his commentary.
It was nice just for once to not hear someone defaulting to protecting the fraternity, protecting the fraternity of coaches, protecting just the locker room here, and saying, no, there are a lot of people, including people in our locker room, that were affected by this, and we're going to acknowledge them on here. Canny and Golic Jr., we also had a friend stop by the show today. Kevin DeGondi, one of the co-hosts of the 6 o'clock Sports Center, him and L. Duncan doing a great job every day here on your screen, came in and talked about his team, Philadelphia fan through and through, and about how the Eagles should go about using Jalen Hurts in tonight's game against Tampa.
He's not a pocket quarterback, ideally. He's a guy that you got to run a lot of RPO, keep the defense a little bit honest, and when you have a Miles Sanders talent in the backfield, and Kenny Gainwell can run a little bit between the tackles, he likes to do that, you've got to mix it up, and then you can then have the Jalen Hurts keeper on the RPO. If you watch a little bit of that game against the Panthers, Jalen Hurts is ball down the field. He's not accurate. He continues to struggle with that. But what changed the dynamic of that offense in the fourth quarter was they were running a lot more RPO, naked bootleg, get him to the outside, and Jalen Hurts can do more things that way.
And Chris, we know it's been a source of frustration, not only the way Jalen Hurts has been used, but quite frankly, the way this offense has completely abandoned their run game, although it's hard to blame them too much considering the state physically of the offensive line in front of them.
Sure. I mean, listen, all running backs run the same when there's no hole, and that's not very well. But that being said, Miles Sanders is a really dynamic football player. I have a hard time not understanding why the Eagles and Nick Sirianni aren't giving him more touches within the offense. But Kevin was right, man. I mean, you got to allow Jalen Hurts to do what he does best in using his wheels to get out on the edges of defense and put pressure on defenses that way. I think that's when you're going to get the most out of him. That's when you're going to see him at his best. So I think the Eagles need to move more in that direction with their offense. We saw it early on in the season in their game against the Falcons. They need to try to show more of that tonight going up against that Bucs defense.
Yep, we'll see if they can pull that off going up against only one of the best front sevens in the NFL. So we'll see if they can handle all of that noise as Philadelphia and Tampa get ready to square off on Thursday Night Football. Stick around here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz coming up next, followed by Dodgers-Giants Game 5.